Well, good morning. Good to see you this morning. I hope you are doing well on this beautiful day. Thank the Lord. We got some rain and beautiful, beautiful days here lately. And we just thank Him for all that He's doing for us. And good to see you here. And glad to have you with us as we worship this morning. And I'm looking forward to what the Lord has given me to share with you. And the message this morning is called Out of the Darkness. And just different things kind of bring the words about that the Lord gives me each week and through study and prayer. And this is kind of where my heart was this morning on just a lot of us deal with a lot of things, and we see a lot of things happening in the world today. And certainly we can see through the Word that there is a deliverance that is available. So I'm excited about what we're going to do here on that this morning. So again, I want to welcome you. If you're visiting with us, we are glad to have you here, and I hope that you enjoy your time with us. And so let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you again for another day in which we could be together, a day here we could worship you, Lord, and we just lift you up, Lord, and we just thank you for what you have done. And Lord, we just ask you now to come, Lord, and be amongst us this morning as we hear the truth of your word, Lord, the whole of your word, the completeness of your word. And just ask you now, Lord, to just shine down upon us in everything that we do, Lord, both in spoken word and words in song. And we just thank you for this message. We thank you for those that are here on this early service this morning, Lord, that they would just hear from you and just be encouraged, Lord, as we walk through this life. We thank you for what you're going to do. Ask you, Lord, I just ask you as your humble servant this morning to be used, Lord, and that it be of you and not of me. Thank you for what you are going to do. May you bless us now. In Christ's name we said amen and amen. I have one song I want to share with you this morning, very familiar. I believe will speak to us this morning on that is just indeed how powerful and how great our God really is and what he can do for us. So we take our reading this morning from the book of Colossians, chapter 1, and we'll be reading from verses 13 through 17, and for the opening text here that will give us the message this morning. So let us read the Word of God. It begins here in verse 13. It says, He has delivered us from the power of darkness. Now just think about those words right there. If we don't hear another thing, think about that. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have the preeminence. I didn't have that verse up there, but when we think about that, God comes first. Let us pray. Father, again, we thank you for the reading of your word. We thank you, Lord, for the message that you have given. May you bless this time now. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. You know, today, as we, whether we travel or whether we listen to the news or whatever the case, we hear the word freedom used a lot. And certainly around this time of the year, you know, just coming out of Independence Day and what have you, you hear that word a lot. People, if they be honest, want to be free. I mean, that's how we were made. God never intended for us to be bound, you know, never wanted, never had that desire for us. Here in our country, of course, we still, for at least for the time being, and I don't say that to make a political statement, it's just how I feel. We have still some freedoms for now. We know we still have the freedom of speech. We can travel from town to town or state to state. You know, we can watch whatever we want to on TV. You know, maybe some of it you shouldn't, but, you know, we have that freedom. We can pick where we want to work. If they'll hire you, you can get a job. You know, we have all kinds of things that other places don't have. You know, other places are under tyrannical rule. They're under dictatorships. They're under all kind of different things. They're held captive. Slavery still exists in some places. But there is another kind of bondage, if you will, another thing that captivates and captures every single person in the world, and that is the bondage of sin. The power of darkness that is spoken of here. It is an obstacle from true freedom. The bondage that is created by sin is an obstacle to true and real freedom, because only freedom, only real freedom comes through Christ. And we got to understand that today. And when there is a separation between those two things, then there's a problem. Jesus said again in John 8 and 32, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Make you free. He also goes on to say later in verse 36 of that same chapter, John, "Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." You know, he's saying, if I have turned you loose, if I have set you free, then you've been set free. You know, you are no longer in bondage if you don't want to be. You don't have to be, because I have turned you loose. A great old gospel song was written using those very words many years ago. "Whom the Son sets free is free indeed." It's a great song if you've ever heard it. If you're not, look it up. But something seems to get in the way. We live in a time to where there's constant, distractions and divisions and all kinds of things. Things get in the way of this freedom that is offered, an obstacle, if you will. It's like traveling. You know, you're going down the road, and you're going the way that you are desiring to go. The road is right there. You can see it very clear. And then all of a sudden, there's one of those big, giant orange signs that are off that portion of road that we want to travel on, that we want to get there. It hinders our freedom to travel. It gets in the way. Well, things get in the way of our life and where we're headed, and things get in the way of our freedom that the Lord has said He has given us. So we look this morning at what is the power of darkness? What is that? How can we be delivered from that? Well, he says here that he has delivered us from that. The question is, have I accepted that deliverance? Have I accepted that offer that I don't have to be in that place anymore? And if I can be delivered from it, who is this one who can deliver me? Who is this Jesus, this only one who says he can deliver me from that? Why is he the only one who can do it? Why is he the only place that I can find the answer that I need? Well, if we look back to our original verse here, it says in verse 13, "He has delivered us from the power of darkness. He has conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love." Here, we understand darkness represents sin. That's what that means. Darkness represents sin. The one thing that separates us from God. The one thing that keeps us from proper fellowship, unity, and being together with the Father. The one thing that keeps us in the dark, because we're not walking in the light. Okay, we're looking at the simplicity of words here, but they all come together to really paint a wonderful picture if we see what God is saying. John 3:19 says, "And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world and men loved darkness rather than light." Now that's true words, my friends, if we look at our world today. He said light has come into the world. It's been offered. It has come. But men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. What is that talking about? Light exposes darkness. Every single time. Everything, whatever is hiding, what you couldn't see. You know, the light of the world has come, Jesus Christ, and exposed the sins of man. That's what it's all about. That's what he's shown. Because he said in some of his teachings, had I not come, they wouldn't know they were sinning. You know, I came to show them what they were doing that was not of me, that was not of the Father. Here John would write that Jesus said, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Now think about this. When someone tries to hide something, we think about the old saying, they want to keep you in the dark. Trying to hide something. You know, when I was on the road back many years ago, most of the time, heinous crimes and things that were done under the cover of night. You know, they were done in the darkness, if you will. The deeds were evil, or the darkness seemed to provide some kind of shelter or some kind of protection for that wrongdoing, if you will. If you think back to the trials and the wrongdoings of Jesus, when was it done? All at night. They didn't want anybody to know what was being done because it was not right. It was being done wrong. In the dark, very rare can people see what happens. And it's not until the light comes that the truth can be found. Sin, it holds so many people in bondage. It keeps so many people enslaved to different things, whether it's, you know, addictions, whether it's, you know, just pure out sinful behavior, whether it's the darkness of maybe one's past or whatever. It keeps people blind from being able to see the truth. It makes the dark even darker. Because the deeper you get into it, it's like digging a hole. The deeper you get into that hole, the darker it gets, right? Because there is no light. You know, there is no light in that bottomless pit or whatever the case is there. It requires, when we in those places of darkness, it requires the light to stay away. It requires the light to not be seen. And here we got to understand why and how that's important. When there is no light, what that means for our life and how that changes things. And the Lord here is saying, that's not what I want for you. That's not how I want it to be. Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 11, he says this, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them." Now think about that. Think about that for a minute. Here we hear a lot today. Oh, well, we're not supposed to say anything, and you know, we're not supposed to judge anything. The Bible is total opposite of what the world teaches. The Bible here says very clearly, you have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Why? Because it keeps you out of fellowship with God. You cannot be in willful sin tied into the things of the world and the darkness and the rulers of the air and expect blessings from God. It can't happen. It says, "For it is shameful to even speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore," he says, "awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." He's not talking about the ones in the grave. He's talking about the ones that can't see. It's right in front of you. He's saying, don't do that. Stay away from that stuff. That's not what I want you to do. It's not good for you. It's unfruitful. But the Bible teaches, Jesus taught in his ministry, he wants us to be fruitful at all times. He wants us to be ever producing and showing things that are of him. But if we are tied to the things of the world and the darkness that this world provides, it says that is unfruitful and that is ungodly. He doesn't want us to be a part of that. He says here that wise ones are to avoid darkness. Why? Because it creates an obstacle to our freedom. You know, and I'm not talking about the freedoms that are granted to us through, you know, declarations and constitutions and executive orders and whatever. I'm talking about the freedom given to us by God to worship him, to praise him, to lift him up, to not be bound by the things of this world and the fears and the doubts and the worries that come because of the enemy. Here we can be set free. The power that comes from this darkness is a great power. We see so many people today bound as if they were wearing chains or heavy weights that they weren't able to move at all. It deceives so many. And it does indeed flow from the ruler of darkness. It flows from Satan himself. And today, we as believers are in a clash with that. We are in a constant conflict, a battle, a war, if you will, with these rulers of darkness. Paul would write about this in Ephesians chapter 6 that we will look at here in a minute. But the very first verse of that, he says in chapter 6 and verse 12, he says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age." Here we see that word again, darkness. "Against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." He's saying, this stuff is real and you better take serious about it. It's going on. It's out there. And it doesn't take a whole lot if you've become a student of the Word and a believer of the Word and a follower of Christ to realize the reality of this and realize there are things going on in this world that are not of just normal doings. There's some evil. There's some wickedness. There's some things going on out there. But there is an answer. There is one who can fix the problem. There is one who can bring the solution. And He can bring us the power that we need to endure and to make it in this fight. When we were in school, or maybe even some of us could still be considering doing something like that, and we study for a big test. You know, we got this major exam or whatever the case coming up, and we study because this is a battle to challenge our intellect, you know, and I got to prepare for that battle. I got to study and get ready. If we're going to be in a fight or a match against an opponent, a foe, we train and we get ready. We study tapes or whatever the case. If you're facing an opposing team, you hear sometimes football teams talking about studying all the different films from different games. Different athletes, they train and study. One athlete, a contest, one-on-one, a wrestling match, boxing match, where they study one another's opponents. They work out. They train hard. They study strategy. They prepare to face the battle of a physical nature with only a hope of winning. I mean, I hope I'm going to be able to endure this contest and win. I really hope and believe, you know, I've studied hard that I can do well on this test. And this is only based on our being better prepared than our opponent. That is by our own doings, and hoping and trusting in God will give us the ability to do it. But what about this battle against darkness? I can't fight that because I can't see it most of the time. I don't know when it's going to come. How do you ever prepare for something that could jump out from behind the wall at you? You know, you don't ever know when to be ready. Well, the Bible gives us very clear instructions here of how we fight and how to be ready. He tells us, Paul writes in the book of Ephesians, again, we pick up where we left off after verse 12, and he says, "Take up the whole armor of God." In other words, don't leave anything out. If God offers you multiple things, use them. They are there. "Take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand." Now here, we need to understand the importance of that one verse. "That you may be able," it's coming. He's not saying maybe. He's not saying if. He's saying it will. "You may be able to withstand." He goes on. "Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able," not maybe, "will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me, the utterance may be given to me that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." The power of darkness can be overcome by the light of Christ. The power of darkness can be defeated by Christ, our Lord and Savior. He said in John 8 and 12, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. We need to understand the power given to us through the spoken and written word of God. We need to understand His promises through these verses. Here we see Paul says, take up the whole armor of God. Get ready because it's coming. Prepare yourself. Know the truth. This is so important today in our world of confusion and distractions and divisions and all the things. Even within the church, my friends. Even within the church. The truth is not always taught. In every place, on every corner, when, you know, mainline denominations go national on television and say, you know, we're okay with two guys getting married. No, you're not, because you're out of God's will. That's not what the Bible says. You can't say that and say, I'm walking in the light, because you are not. And you are not teaching the truth. So Paul says here, to prepare yourself to be able to fight against the principalities and the darkness and the evil and all the things that are around us, you must know the truth. And we have to get back. I've said this over and over and over. We got to get away from anything else and get back to thus saith the Lord and nothing else. Because that's where the truth is. It's nowhere else. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And if you have me, if you will follow me, you will not and shall not walk in the darkness. In other words, I won't be ignorant anymore. And I don't say that to be mean. Paul oftentimes opened his letters with, brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant. He wasn't calling anybody stupid. He's saying, I want you to know the truth. I don't want you to be distracted by all this other nonsense that so-and-so might be saying. I want you to know the truth. So we see, if we understand, and if you've lived any length of time at all, we know darkness is powerful. It's powerful. It's overwhelming at times, but it can be conquered. And all you got to do is turn on the light. That's all you got to do. Think about the simplicity of that. Verse 14 of our original opening text says, in whom we have a redemption. Now think about that. It says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the shed blood of the cross, the forgiveness of sins. We have been redeemed. We've been set free from the darkness. We've been set free from the bondage that it comes. I was lost, but praise God, now I am found. That's what He's telling us here. What great news we have received through the Word of God. Darkness will always be conquered by light. Every single time the sun ends the darkness of the night. The moon pierces the darkness of the sky. A lamp reveals the darkness of a room. And Jesus reveals light to the darkness of the world. We see that. It works. It shines. His light shines on the darkness of sin. It shines on the darkness of sin in our lives. And through His Word, He says to us, confess it to me. Confess it to me. And by the power of my shed blood, you will be delivered. And you will be made clean in my sight. You will be made whole. I mean, think about that. You don't have to be bound by anything ever again. Deliverance from anything brings praise. I mean, think about that. When we're delivered from something, when we've had a problem with this or that and no longer have that problem, that brings praise. We're excited about that. We can look through the Bible for a couple of different examples. And the first one that the Lord led me to was back in Exodus. As the children of Israel had been delivered, it said back in chapter 14, just to give you a little pretext before I read you the scripture I've got up on the screen, it says in 14, at the end of 14, verse 30, it says, so the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Thus Israel saw the great work which the Lord had done in Egypt. So the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and His servant Moses. And then here in chapter 15, Exodus 15, verses 1 and 2, it says this, then Moses And the children of Israel sang this song to the Lord and spoke, saying, I will sing to the Lord, for He has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider He has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise Him, my Father's God, and I will exalt Him. We can picture this. I've just been set free. I've been made whole. God has done exactly what He said He would do. We can picture this. We can see the excitement of being set free from something. We've seen maybe a read stories about a man who's been set free from prison because he was found innocent, that he didn't commit the crime that they had said he was done. He's been set free. Maybe we've seen the alcoholic or the drug addict freed from their addiction, changed their life forever, and they've been made new. The person that's been in constant pain for years, chronic pain, something's hurting them, and God has set them free. We see the burden lifted from their life. This list could just go on and on and on. But our deliverance, our redemption, not only includes freedom from bondage, but it includes forgiveness. Oh man, think about that. God not only sets me free and has cleansed me of this unrighteousness that's been in my life, this unfruitfulness, but I have been forgiven. I have been forgiven. And that means that my account now is stamped, paid in full, in big, giant, blood red letters. Oh, man. Think about that. That is what He's telling us. Nothing can no longer be brought against me in the eyes of God. Nothing, as it comes to my past sin or anything that I have confessed unto the Lord, repented sin, it is 100% forgiven, forgotten, forever. Amen. I mean, that's what He's telling me here. The promise was made all the way back in the garden when God said in Genesis 3:15, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. Speaking of the coming Jesus and what would happen at the cross. The delivery of this promise was paid at Calvary. It came to pass. It tells us here in the book of 1 Peter, the word says in chapter 1, beginning in verse 18, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. That's who redeemed me. That's who set me free. That's what He's saying here. So who is this one who delivers us? Who is this Jesus that He talks of here? He is our perfect deliverer. He is the one who can do all things. He is the one who is the answer to all things. If we look back to what we were reading this morning, it says in Colossians 1 and 15, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. The image of the invisible God. What is He saying here to us? Jesus embodies God. Jesus, with His image, He is the one seen by thousands in His life when He was walking the earth. He made God greater than just a thought. He made Him greater than just the idea of a spirit or an unknown entity. God became real through the person of Jesus Christ to the lives of millions of people throughout time. When He was walking and talking, His examples and His teachings would change people's lives forever, including still now today. It is not a story of times past. It is not a story of, well, that sounds real nice, but now we're dealing with today. No, Jesus is still here today. That has not changed. He is still available to anybody who wants Him, and He can still and still does set people free every single day. We got to get back to that. Verse 16 says, all things were created through him and for him. So we must remember that even the devil was not always evil. He was not created to be that way. He was given free will, and pride caused his fall. He wanted to be God. You know, he wanted to rise above. He was like, hey, man, I could do that job. You know, maybe in our prideful lives at some point in time, we've had a boss or something like, hey, I could do a lot better than him. That's what the devil thought. His pride overtook him, and it caused what we deal with today. Ephesians 1 and 21 says, far above all principality. Now mind the words there, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. That's Jesus. He's above it all. In him it says all things were created, but in this verse it says far above all those things is he. He is above them all. We look at Colossians 2 and 15, and it says real clear, having disarmed, think about this now, disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Disarmed. He took away their power. When Jesus said, it is finished on the cross, the devil got whipped. And I don't just mean just for a little while. I mean forever. I mean, he really, back in my old wrestling days, when a guy was going to threaten another guy, and this was over on the East Coast down south, he'd say, man, I'm going to stomp a mud hole in you and walk it dry. That's what Jesus did. I mean, I'm telling you, and that's what he did. He walked it dry, man. I mean, that rascal was beat, disarmed, took away their power, shed light on the darkness. He shed light on the darkness. He made, it says here, a public spectacle of them. He gave darkness a humiliating defeat. A humiliating defeat in front of everybody. This wasn't done in secret. It wasn't done in private. It was done in front of the whole world. It's kind of like that ball game that maybe you've watched. And one team is winning by 50 points and the other team has zero. That's a humiliating defeat. That's not just, well, that was just a small loss. No, that you just got destroyed. You know, that's like the boxer that walks out and he's talked all kinds of trash and he's over here in the corner, his manager's holding back, and he walks to the center ring and 1 second later he's on the floor. That's a humiliating defeat. Darkness was defeated, never again to have power over the life of a believer unless they allow it in. He does not have power over nary one of us if we don't let it. Jesus said he has come and he said, I overcame the world. He said, do not let your hearts be troubled. You're going to have troubles in the world. It's going to happen. But I have overcome the world. He is telling us how to handle the darkness, not just in the world, but also in the mirror. Not just what's around us, but also what looks back at us. He is telling, hey, turn on the light. Turn on the light. The power of darkness can never stand up to light. Never. We have a promise of deliverance from the perfect deliverer. He said you can have it if we'll just turn on the light. When we walk into a dark room, whether it's at our house, whether it's at a hotel room, whether it's at a place we're going to visit, whatever. If we walk into the room and the lights are not on, what is our automatic thing to do? We're searching the wall, looking for that light switch. That's the very first thing we do. Pull the chain, flip the switch, whatever the case. The first thing we do is turn on the light. And darkness is automatically taken out. Instantly. Our lives are the same way. The Bible's telling us here our deliverance from darkness and sin and bondage is guaranteed through Christ. All we got to do is let him come. All we got to do is invite him into our heart. All we got to do is turn on the light. It is promised and it is guaranteed through his death on the cross and his resurrection. We have been given a freedom that will last throughout eternity if we want it. We have been given that if we want it. We can say today, I have overcome the darkness through my faith and my belief in Jesus Christ. He is saying to us today, I went to the enemy's camp and I took back what he stole from you. And now I'm going to give it back to you. If you will have faith and trust in me, I want you to protect it. I want you to share it. I want you to rest in it. But most importantly, I want you to let it shine. You know, it's just like the little children's song that we learned in VBS. It's a plug, Carol. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. You know, we think of the simplicity of that, and we think of children walking around, you know, with their fingers up, and this little light of mine. But isn't that what God is calling us to do? Let our light shine in the darkness of this world. Do we understand the significance of that? Do we understand that as if this room is completely and totally dark, utterly dark, when you can't see a thing, and I came from back here where no one could see me walk in, and I had a neon suit on, and I could flip the switch on, all you'd see in this room would be me. Now, not to shed light on me, but light brings a significant change to a dark room because you instantly see it. If you've ever traveled and you've done going down a dark road and off way at the back of a field, you see a little farmhouse back there with a porch light on. That light stands out. It just stands out. We live in a dark world. We're surrounded by evil and immorality and vileness and just ungodliness. It's just amazing. I just wrote a new article, letter, if you will, whatever, on our website. I encourage you to read that about these very things. When we look at the things around our world that are celebrated, you know, like the number one movies in the country and the number one this and the number one that, look at the content. Look at what it is. It's garbage. It's filth. We're surrounded by these things. So when you're surrounded by darkness, how significant is it when you're light? You stand out. God said we are called to be holy. The word holy means to be separate. Light is separate from dark. All the way back to creation, God said, I separated the light from the dark. It's not together. It's not meant to be together. We can be brought out of the bondage of darkness. We can be set free from everything if we rest our faith in our deliverer. And we will remember what he said. He said, I am the way and the truth and the life. He said that we can know this truth and this truth would make us free. We have been delivered, friends. Each and every one of us that have accepted Christ, we have been delivered from the power of darkness. And may we never forget that who the Son sets free is free indeed. Let us pray. Father, we love you. Thank you so much for what you have done for us and what you have given us. Now, Lord, as we end our time together here this morning, I just pray, Lord, that there has been a blessing received by everyone sitting before me. I just pray, Lord, that this message, Lord, would not just stop here, but would just resonate through our lives and into the lives of those that we love, Lord, that they can be set free from the power of darkness, that it does not have rule over us, Lord. You said so. You have disarmed those principalities, Lord. You have publicly humiliated them in their defeat. May we stand on that promise today and put Satan in his rightful place. Lord, we just thank you for what you're going to do through the remainder of our time together today, Lord, whether it's in our next hour of teaching and classes, Lord, in Sunday school, or whether it's in our further hour, Lord, of another message that you have given today, that peace is coming. I just pray now, Lord, that you would just be with us and keep us throughout this day until we join together again. Lord, if there be those, all who come this morning, Lord, prepared to give unto you, I pray you would bless the gift and the giver, Lord, as they place their gifts unto you in our offering boxes as they leave. And we thank you for what you are going to do. May the rest of this day truly, truly be blessed. May your grace and mercy follow us. In Jesus' name, we all said, amen. Thank you for coming. God bless you all.